Welcome back to the Dad Show. I'm Dad Pete, and I am tanned, rested, and approximately 40% lobster. Dave, we just got back from 2 weeks in Maine, Bar Harbor, year 15 of the Great Family Migration.
Ha ha ha, 15 years. That's not a vacation anymore. That's a tradition with tenure.
15 summers running, same coast, same salt air. The kids have literally never known an August without Maine in it. And here's the heart of the whole operation. My wife's parents have a place up near Acadia. They've owned it for eons.
Ah, so that's the anchor. The ancestral summer house.
The ancestral summer house. And here's the funny part. They live near us at home. So every summer, the entire extended family migrates north together. Like geese, Dave. Multi-generational geese.
Ha ha ha. Wait. You drive all the way to Maine to visit people who live down the road from you?
Every single year. And here's the thing. It's completely different up there. At home, seeing the grandparents is logistics, a dinner squeezed between school events. Up in Maine, it's porch time, slow days. The kids get their grandparents at vacation speed, which is the best speed there is.
Grandparents at vacation speed. That's a beautiful thing. Okay, so how does a family of four get to Maine for 2 weeks?
In two cars, Dave.
Ha ha ha, two cars. There are four of you.
Two adults, two kids, two vehicles. The SUV and the station wagon, both packed to the gills. Food, clothing, hiking gear, boats, bikes. We didn't drive to Maine. We relocated to Maine.
That's not packing. That's a supply convoy.
It's the 15-year problem. Because, Dave, year one? Year one was before marriage, before kids. It was just me and my girlfriend, one car, one duffel bag, staying at her parents' place. I was the new boyfriend, getting my introduction to the whole Maine club.
Ha ha ha, the audition trip. Did you pass?
Well, 15 years later, that girlfriend is my wife. The Maine club has two junior members, and the guy who showed up with one duffel bag now commands a two-vehicle supply convoy. So yes, but at a cost. If Maine ever runs out of anything, anything at all, we have it in the wagon.
From pledge to logistics director, the Great Migration travels with its own supply line. Okay, set the scene at your place.
Little rental on a pond, Acadia right there. And Dave, I have to start with the most luxurious discovery of the entire trip. Are you ready? Nobody set an alarm.
The mythical lazy morning. I've read about them.
Every morning, the house just woke up when it woke up. Slow pancakes, second coffee on the porch, kids wandering down in pajamas at 8:30 like tiny hotel guests, no lunchboxes, no bus, no countdown clock. I remembered what mornings are for, Dave.
Mornings without logistics. The rarest vacation amenity. Okay, Acadia, did you hike?
We hiked, and I learned that children price hikes in snacks. Every trail has an exchange rate. A mile of walking costs one granola bar. Summit pushes are priced in gummy bears. By the top of one climb, I had paid out an entire grocery aisle.
The trail economy. And was the view worth it?
The view was spectacular. My kids looked at the entire Atlantic Ocean spread out below us for 9 seconds, said, "Cool," and asked what the snack situation was for the way down.
9 seconds. That's actually a strong rating from a kid.
It's basically 5 stars. And then the biking, Dave. The carriage roads in Acadia, miles of car-free gravel through the woods, over stone bridges. Which matters, because you'll remember my daughter and I have a streak going.
The after-dinner ride. Wait, did the streak survive the vacation?
The streak survived, Dave. Every single night, all summer. We are somewhere around 75 consecutive nights now, and vacation didn't break it. If anything, Maine was the streak's finest hour. After-dinner rides on carriage roads with the sun going down through the trees.
75 nights. You know the rule. You don't break the chain.
You don't break the chain. Rain, tired legs, lobster comas, the ride happens. It's 15 minutes some nights, but it happens. Honestly, it's become my favorite part of every day.
That's the good stuff. Okay, but 2 weeks in Maine, there had to be a rain day.
Oh, there was a rain day. And Dave, on that rain day, I executed what I consider the finest solo dad mission of my career.
A mission? Do not go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Red Heat Tavern in Bedford, Massachusetts. Vacation's over, the cooler is still sitting in the driveway, and absolutely nobody wants to cook the first week back. Red Heat Tavern has great food, cold drinks, and zero sand in anything. Red Heat Tavern, right here in Bedford, Massachusetts.
Okay, Pete, the rain day, the mission. I need the full briefing.
Day 9, forecast, rain, all day, sideways. And here's the thing about day 9 of a family vacation in a small rental. The walls start closing in. Everybody loves each other so much and needs to be 3 rooms apart.
Peak togetherness. The cottage gets smaller every day.
And my wife had been on full time for 9 straight days. So I made the call. I loaded both kids in the car and drove 75 minutes inland, on purpose, in the rain.
75 minutes? That's not an outing. That's a deployment.
A full deployment with a 3-part objective. Matinee movie, Chick-fil-A, trampoline gym.
Ha ha! The trifecta. The holy trinity of rainy day parenting.
The timing was surgical, Dave. Movie at 11. Nuggets at 1:15. Bouncing commences at 2. I stood at the trampoline place with all the other rain refugee dads from 3 states, and we just nodded at each other. No words needed. We all knew why we were there.
The brotherhood of the bounce. And meanwhile, back at the cottage?
My wife had 6 hours of a quiet house. Porch, book, tea, rain on the roof. 0 people asking her for anything. Dave, I came home to a different human being. Restored. Recharged.
That's the real gift, and every married dad listening knows it. Sometimes the most romantic thing you can give somebody is your complete absence.
And the drive home. Both kids asleep within 11 minutes. I drove the coast road in total silence, drinking a gas station coffee, feeling like I'd won the World Cup.
The champion's drive. Okay, now tell me about the water, because I hear you were on it a lot.
So Dave, you remember how my daughter learned to ride a bike, and 1 week later she was doing 10-mile rides? She did it again. New sport. We borrowed an inflatable paddleboard from a neighbor and brought it up with us. I pumped the thing up, and 30 minutes later, 30 minutes, she is out on the water using it like a pro.
She speed ran another sport.
Standing up, paddling, carving turns, first session. The learning curve for paddleboarding is supposed to include falling in, Dave. She skipped that chapter entirely.
Some kids just download skills straight to the brain. So where does that leave you?
In a kayak. And that became our thing. Dad in the kayak, daughter on the paddleboard, cruising the shoreline side by side. Full water adventures. And before the trip was over, the whole family had a turn out there too.
The borrowed board that made the whole vacation.
Best thing we packed. And it wasn't even ours. Somewhere back home, there's a neighbor who has no idea they upgraded our entire summer.
Where do you even go on a pond? Just around and around?
See, that's the thing. Out in the middle of our pond, there's a little island. No name. Too small for the maps to bother with. And Dave, it's not unnamed anymore. The family named it. It's Zosa's Island now.
Zosa's Island. Oh, Pete.
And it became the destination for every single paddle. You head out, you aim for Zosa's Island, you pull up on the rocks, you explore a little, you have a snack, you rest, you head back. Nobody planned it as a memorial. It just happened. Every day, somebody would say, "Let's go out to Zosa's."
and it felt exactly right. She was an explorer. Now she's got an island.
The adventurer got her own island. That is exactly right.
Somewhere on a pond in Maine, there's an island named after a cat. The maps will never know. We'll always know.
And the island adventures didn't stop there, I hear. You and your daughter went to sea?
The daddy-daughter day. She and I took a boat out to Great Cranberry Island, this little island off Acadia. Tiny year-round population, and approximately 10,000 pieces of sea glass.
A treasure island. What's the agenda on Great Cranberry?
There is no agenda. That's the beauty. We explored the whole island on foot, poked around the little museum and the dock, and then we hit the beach and hunted sea glass for hours. And Dave, watching my daughter work a beach for sea glass is like watching a prospector. She had a system. Sorted by color. Greens are common, browns are respectable. But blue? Blue is the jackpot.
Of course she had a system. Did she assign market values?
She came home with a jar of it and informed me that the blues are, quote, not for sale, which tells you she knows exactly what they're worth.
Ha ha ha, the one commodity too precious to trade. The CEO holds her position.
And honestly, a boat ride, a beach, a whole day with nowhere to be, just the two of us. That jar of sea glass is going to sit on her shelf for the rest of her childhood, and I'll always know exactly which day it came from.
That's the good stuff, Pete. Now, speaking of islands, I've been told this family's island adventures once included accidentally invading Canada.
The legend of Campobello. Okay, this one's from last year's trip, but it's permanent family lore now. So one day we drive 100 miles north, all the way up the coast, to see West Quoddy Head, the big candy-striped lighthouse at the easternmost point of the United States.
The easternmost point? You literally ran out of America.
Completely out of America. And right there, across a little bridge, is Campobello Island, which is in Canada, and which is where Franklin Roosevelt had his summer place. Even presidents did the Maine migration, Dave. We're in good company.
So naturally, you went across.
Well, here's where the planning got a little loose. We figured, it's 90 minutes, it's basically next door, surely a driver's license is fine for a quick look at the rest of the island. And Dave, we had exactly one driver's license, among the four of us.
One? Two adults, two kids, one license for the entire delegation?
The border guard looked at our car like we were a traveling clown act. This man could not process what he was seeing. Four people, one laminated card, zero passports. He asked where we were headed. We said, oh, just a quick look around. And he gazed upon us with enormous Canadian patience and sent us straight back.
Deported. You got gently deported.
The gentlest deportation in North American history. Total time in Canada, 5 minutes. Round trip. And the kids still count it. My son tells people he's been to Canada, which is technically true.
A 5-minute international incident. That's in the family legend vault forever.
Every year now, somebody says, remember when Dad invaded Canada? Permanent collection, Dave. Permanent collection.
Okay, we have to talk about the food, because you said the words lobster-a-thon.
The lobster-a-thon, Dave. The family set a goal, lobster in every known form before we left. Lobster rolls, hot with butter and cold with mayo because we're scientists and the debate needed data. Lobster stew, lobster mac, and the main event, whole lobsters, bibs on, the full wrestling match.
How did the kids handle a whole lobster?
My son treated it like an engineering problem. Very methodical. Studied the claw, worked the joints. Rubik's Cube energy, Dave. He solved his dinner. My daughter, meanwhile, asked the waitress what lobster costs per pound, did some math on the roll prices, and announced there's, quote, really good margin in lobster rolls.
She audited the restaurant. The CEO never takes a day off.
She's already talking about a lobster roll stand. I had to explain we live very far from the lobsters. She said, and I quote, "That's what refrigerated trucks are for." I don't know whether to be worried or start investing.
Invest, Pete. Always invest. So, final verdict on the hot versus cold lobster roll question?
The family split 2-2, which means the debate continues at Thanksgiving. And the real answer is, the best lobster roll is the one you eat on a picnic bench, in the sun, with your family, on a day with no agenda.
It was a good trip, huh? 15 years in, is it a different vacation than year one?
I've been thinking about that. Year one, everything is new, so you want to see it all. Every trail, every town, every lighthouse. You're sprinting through a checklist, fitting it all in, because who knows if you'll ever be back.
The tourist panic. Every new place does that to you.
But year 15? We've seen it all, Dave. So we get to relax and choose. Pick only the things that bring the most joy or the best adventure, and let the rest go. And the rest of the time? You sit on the porch with a book. You watch a show without an ounce of guilt. The vacation has negative space in it.
Negative space, like in a painting, the empty part that makes everything else work.
Exactly. And here's the secret. You can only have negative space in a place you know. A new place demands all your attention. A known place gives you room. That's what 15 years buys you. The freedom to do less, better.
The freedom to do less, better. That might be the whole vacation philosophy right there.
And listeners know this was also the trip where my son built his Lego cat, the one I talked about last episode. That's the thing about a family vacation. It holds all of it, the silly and the sad, the lobster bibs and the negative space. 2 weeks where the whole catastrophe just got to be together.
Lazy mornings, a 75-night streak, and a trunk full of sandy towels. That's the good life, Pete.
The real souvenir was the slow mornings. I'm keeping those. Until next time, I'm Dad Pete.
I'm Dave.
And this is The Dad Show.